Dave Moore on Today FM
podcast.
Donal Porter, congratulations on Honeybee. What a book.
Thank you so much.
It's wonderful. It seems a little bit like a love letter to Guernsey, but maybe acknowledging both the good bits and the bad bits. Would that be fair?
I think that's completely fair. You know, Guernsey is this amazing place to grow up, but you were cut off from the rest of the world. It's undeniable. So it would be untrue of me not to acknowledge that in the book, but that doesn't make it any less wonderful.
No, that's true. Well, to my audience who maybe haven't read it yet, I haven't been lucky enough to get an advanced copy like I have. Can you give them, the kind of the back of the book, the plot, just to let them know what it's about? Because we've met Flo and Renee before.
Yeah, so Renee and Flo are two girls that I've written about for a really long time. I wrote the first books, Paper Airplanes and Goose, like 12 years ago. Mm. And it all started with a little friendship on Guernsey. I grew up in Guernsey and I had, you know, a difficult childhood, and I've always wanted to fictionalize it in some way. And so I thought, right, with the first book, I'm going to pour myself into it. And so there's a lot of grief in the first book. Renee has lost her mum and Flo loses her dad. And these two very unlikely friends bond over grief. And then, so in the first book, it's about that, and they're 14 and 15. In the second book, they're kind of established friends and then just trying to stay friends. And then I was like, right, I'm going to bring Renee and Flo back, but where do I bring them back?
Yeah.
What age? And so for a minute there, they were going to be 30. And then I was like, no, because there's this brilliant moment in time in all of our lives, in your early 20s, when you're suddenly launched into adulthood with no idea what to do because university's finished or everything's finished.
Yes.
And I remember that feeling really distinctly of, why isn't anyone giving me something to do in September, offering me a way out of the mess that
I've
made?
Yeah, I've had it for 22 years. Someone has told me what to do in September.
As in, you get offered this new start every September and then one day it's just gone. It's just this vast expanse of time ahead of you and it's really scary. So I took them back to that point and I loved writing about that time.
Understandably so, because that 20-something experience is, as you said, it's universal, but it's also such an interesting time, and particularly for these two characters and everything they're going through. In terms of where we find Flo and Renee in their own lives, I don't want to give too much away in case people obviously want to get their hands on it, but there's lots happening. There are events, there are turmoils, there are things going on that are really affecting their friendship in lots of ways.
Massively. I mean, I think the big thing when you turn that age as well is there's so much more at stake. Like, relationships mean so much more. Is this someone that you're actually going to get married to? Not that you're, you know, but you are thinking that weirdly somewhere in your deep in your soul. You're thinking love is so much more important now because you're a grown up. And then suddenly when you start really falling in love with people, your friendships get challenged. But the big thing, one of the big themes in the book is money and earning money for the first time. And being responsible for yourself financially, which I remember being terrifying. And I would literally look at everything from a coffee to a skirt that I wanted to buy to new shoes as how long I'd had to sit at the reception desk or work behind the bar
to justify,
to be able to get to get those things. And I remember that being crippling because any help just stopped. There was no one to call. It was like if you want that thing, you've got to sit there and do that job for the time until you've earned the money to do that thing.
Yeah.
And you've got to pay your rent and you've got to pay for your food. And any fun that you want to have has to come out of that as well. And so it's very, very stressful.
Very stressful time. Don, I'm well beyond my 20-somethings. And I occasionally find myself when I'm locking up the house at night and putting the alarm on, just the normal standard every evening thing, you know, making sure the back door is locked, put the alarm on. I think to myself, oh my God, I'm the adult. Like, I'm in charge of this house. Why have they let me? I'm still small and I don't know anything. Why? But yeah, like, I'm in nearly 50. I should be fine about this. Like,
but this is one thing that I love about the book. So even though it's about 22-year-olds, it's set back in 2001. So it's for us. It's for us that were that age at that time. It's not a book for people who were 22. It's a book for people who were 22. And what I love about it is there's the character called Auntie Jo, Renee just thinks has got everything together because she's an adult. And meanwhile, we, the reader, are seeing Auntie Jo kind of falling apart and not actually doing that great. Because as a 45-year-old with two children, I still have days exactly like you were describing when I'm like, why is it up to me? I can't adult today. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pay the bills. I don't know how to clean that thing. I don't know how to drive some days. I don't know what to do. It's so stressful being grown up. And I think that's quite funny.
It
and
is.
I just think the fact The way that younger people think that we've got it together is one of the greatest myths.
Couldn't agree more, although I think my children are slowly seeing through the veil, to be honest with you. Honeybee is a beautiful book, and make sure you get your hands on it. Donal Porter, I suppose the first clue to, you know, your Irishness is the O. And I was only talking about you the other day. So I do a thing on the show called Ask Dave, where listeners send in questions. And they ask me something that they can't Google or they haven't been able to find the information to. And I try my best. And so one of them was about what happens when a double-barreled name person marries another double-barreled name person. Do they have a quadruple-barreled name? And it was this whole thing. But in there, I talked about mashing of surnames, which is kind of what you've done. You were my example. Don O. Porter. You've taken Chris O. Dowd's O. And I absolutely love it.
Oh, thanks. I absolutely love it too. When we were getting married, I did want to do something. Mm. I've always found Dawn Porter a very monosyllabic and quite boring name. And it was actually when I was writing Paper Airplanes, the first book in this series, when I was getting married to Chris, and I had my publisher mock up two covers, one with Dawn Porter and one with Dawn O. Porter. And I was like, well, O. Porter just looks better for a start. It looks amazing. And then it was like, well, how do I do this? So I didn't want a longer name. I don't have a middle name. So right. having... Suddenly being Dawn O'Dowd Porter or whatever that, you know, long thing was going to be just felt really wrong. But just this little kind of kick in the middle of an O apostrophe just made sense. And our friends started to kind of jokingly refer to us as the O Porters.
Right.
That's where it came from. And I remember just loving it immediately. Yeah. And so I did it. We got married and I changed my name by default. It's official. It's on my passport.
It is fantastic. We, as Irish people, we are very, very proud to welcome you into our clan. Although you've been here for so long. And I know you moved back from LA recently, yourself and Chris. And one of the things has to be your proximity to this wonderful island, right?
A huge part to do. Being closer to family was so important. I mean, you know, Chris is so Irish and loves Ireland so much. And the kids are so proud of their Irishness.
Brilliant.
Like they love it there. And they're so close to Nana and all their cousins. And that was a huge part of coming back. And, you know, it's important when you're kind of, when you've got young kids, it's such a blur and it's all
yes.
so fast. You kind of, I didn't notice where, I didn't know where I was. It could have been anywhere for those first few years. It was just, you know, madness. And then suddenly you're like, oh, where do we actually want to be and who do we want to be close to? And that was when we decided to come home.
Well, we're glad you did. And yeah, I mean, you do spend time obviously up in Boyle, and every time we spot you or we hear about you guys being up there, we're all very excited. And I love that your kids love their Irishness. That's brilliant as well. Listen,
I know. My eldest will always describe himself as Irish, which
is fantastic. Okay, because it's great. There's a good few people with, only Tom Grennan, a great singer, was on the show the other day. And he said,
I love him.
Oh, he's so good. But he's also so sound. But he describes himself as, I'm an Irish man with an English accent.
I love that.
Oh, it's so good. Listen, can
I do
the quick fire round with you before you go? I do with all my guests.
Absolutely.
Okay,
yep.
Number one, Donal Porter, what are you currently obsessed with?
Oh, what am I currently? Oh, God, it's so boring.
Go on.
Tofu.
Okay, why tofu?
I'm not even vegan. I've just discovered tofu and think it's the most amazing food on the planet. And I'm obsessed with really good tofu recipes. I love tofu. Obsessed.
Okay, amazing. Who is the most famous person in your phone?
Chris O'Dowd.
That's a good answer. I knew you were going to go for him. And think back, if you can, to when you were on Guernsey, about 8 years old. Did you have school dinners or did you bring a lunchbox to school? And if you did, what was in it?
Oh, I think it was lunchboxes. And I'll never forget the day that my auntie made me baked bean sandwiches.
What?
It's the most 80s thing I've ever heard. But I opened my lunchbox and then it was just a baked bean sandwich. Amazing.
But was it toasted or was it like just soggy bread?
Well, it had been in there for a while. I'd say she'd kind of siphoned off most of the liquid.
Okay,
but it
right.
was still, you know, it was struggling. It was a really, really unhappy sandwich.
I'd say the gym rats listen to us now are going, hang on, you can get protein in there. I might think about doing that.
But you know those mornings when you're doing the lunch boxes and you are just absolutely grappling for ideas
anything.
And you haven't got any food.
Yeah.
And I just imagine the moment where she was like, nailed it.
Baked bean sandwich is incredible. And the final question that I ask everybody, because I don't, do you wash your legs in the shower?
Oh, God, what a brilliant question. Only if I've been sitting down at the park.
Okay, so if there's a justifiable reason like dirt or whatever, you'll give it socks. Yeah. But otherwise,
like when I get home from Glastonbury, it's an every inch gets scrubbed.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair.
But on a day to day, no. And now I feel disgusting.
No, don't, please don't, because I'm with you. I'm one of the non-washers, and I'd say based on the questions I've done, I don't know, nearly 300 interviews, and I've asked this question. I would say 60-40. Say that 60% say they do wash their legs. I don't believe all of them, to be honest with you. So I say it's about 50-50.
God, what a great question. I think about that all day.
Thank you very much. Excellent. Donna Porter, thank you so much for taking the time. Congratulations on Honeybee. Everybody go and grab a copy of Honeybee. It's a beautiful book. You'll really enjoy it, especially if you were ever in your 20s. And let's face it, most of us were. Don, great to catch up. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Speak soon. Bye.
Dave Moore on Today FM Podcast.